Good evening. Thank you for being with us tonight as we share from the Word of God. Pray this message will be helpful to you as we grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. Tonight's lesson is titled, Living by Faith, A Key to Relationships. And we're going to talk about living by faith in our relationship with God, living by faith in our relationship with each other, and also living by faith in ministry to other people. All three. Mark this down. Our relationship with God by faith helps us learn to relate to other people by faith. In other words, our faith relationship with God helps us with our faith relationship with people. But the converse is also true. Our faith relationships with people help us with our faith relationship with God. Most of us have heard of Pavlov's dog. Have you heard that story? You know what I'm talking about? Well, let me share you a little bit about this. Pavlov was a psychological researcher, and he conditioned a dog to salivate by the ringing of a bell. Now, how did he do that? Well, right before it was dinner time, he rang a bell. And dogs are so intelligent, they knew that that was the dinner bell. And they began to salivate. Well, that's not exactly what happened. What he would do is, he would ring a bell, and then just almost on the heels of that, here came dinner. Here was the food dish. And every time before the food dish came, ding! Before the food dish came, would come, ding! Before the food dish would come, ding! And guess what? The dog learned that his salivatory glands would begin to secrete, and he would have saliva for his supper at the ringing of the bell, whether the dinner was served or not. So the dinner dish was taken away, and the bell would ring, ding! And lo and behold, guess what? The dog would be salivating, ready for dinner, whether the dish was present or not. Now that is the foundational research for what we call stimulus response theory, SR, or stimulus response conditioning. The best way I can think of it is what I call vending machine mentality. Now, I know vending machines aren't perfect, but most of the time, you put in your dollar or your $2 and push Pepsi, and what do you get? You get your Pepsi. Now, when I was a kid, the vending machines were not quite as good as they are today, and it was more like going to the casino. You weren't sure if you were really going to get anything or not. But, you know, vending machines have improved, and I don't use a lot of them, but I have found them to be a little more reliable now than they were in my youth. But that's the idea of stimulus and response. I stimulate the machine by putting in the money, and it gives me the response of a good cold drink that I push the button for, right? Sometimes we get a simplistic stimulus-response model of our relationships, either our relationship with God or our relationship with other people. But neither our relationship with God nor our relationship with other people is totally a stimulus-response relationship. It's more of a faith-based relationship, and I'll explain that more in just a few moments. Sometimes we're so simplistic that we view our relationships like a vending machine. You know, our husband-wife relationships, our relationships with the kids or whatnot, we put in the right change, and we just assume then the right product is going to come out. You know, this is where guys, you know, you bring home the flowers and, you know, hi, honey, you know, here's some beautiful flowers for you. And you're expecting her to feel really good and jolly, but maybe she's not feeling really good and jolly because of something you did or said last night. You ever notice that? So the response is not what you expected with the stimulation of the flowers. Or the same thing can work the opposite way with ladies. You know, you really want to get your husband feeling good about you again, so maybe you've had a fight or something like that, and you decide, I'm going to cook his favorite dinner. And you slave in that kitchen, and you bring out his favorite dish, and you set it before him, and he doesn't even say thank you. And you get all steamed. Well, this didn't work. What's your assumption? Your assumption is stimulus response. That is, my assumption is if I present him with his favorite dish, he's going to be nice and like me and everything's going to be fine again. Or I present her with her favorite flowers, then everything's going to be fine again. Have you noticed it doesn't always work that way? Now, this does not mean you shouldn't cook your husband's favorite dish or you should not bring your wife flowers. But what it does mean is those, quote, stimuli do not always bring the response that you had hoped for. Maybe you've noticed that in life. Our relationship with God, here's point number one, is not a stimulus-response vending machine-style model. Sometimes we have a vending machine model of God. We put in a couple of good works, say a prayer or two, come to worship services, push blessings, and we expect, pew, out come the blessings. Have you noticed that doesn't always work exactly as we intended? That's because our relationship with God is not a stimulus-response relationship. It's not that we put in the right goods, put in the right coins. Here comes the prayers. Here comes the good works. Here comes the worship services. I ought to get extra credit. I'm listening to Mark twice today. And you do all those good things, and yet the product that you have been praying for isn't delivered. And you go, God, you let me down. What's wrong here? The assumption is you have a stimulus relationship with God. You do not control God. Right? You're not controlling God. Our assumption of stimulus-response relationship with God gets us in trouble. And that's where Job's friends got it wrong. Here's their assumption. Job, if you lived right, then you wouldn't be suffering. But since you're suffering, that tells us that you're not living right. That's the way Job's friends were thinking. Now, Job's friend had a stimulus-response idea or a cosmic vending machine idea of God. Yes, righteousness often pays dividends even in this life. I realize that. But is there any guarantee that living righteously makes your life a bed of roses? Job's life was not a bed of roses, was it? But did he live righteously? I didn't say faith, didn't say perfectly, but righteously? Yeah. He was a good man. He honored God. But he didn't get the response physically of all those blessings. And his Job's friends began to look at him and say, Job, something's wrong with the money you're putting in the God machine because it's not spitting out the blessings. So Job, you must be living wrong. You must be doing something wrong. That's because Job's friends had a stimulus response idea. We walk by faith and not by sight. God is influenced by our prayers, but we do not control him by our prayers. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But never see prayer or ministry or worship or anything you do in the name of God as coins in the vending machine to get God to do exactly what you want it to do. God is too big and too good for that. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us we live by faith, not by an SR model, stimulus response. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. Faith is more than a belief in God's existence. It's trust in God's goodness and that he has our best in heart and he will bless us according to his wisdom. We do not have a contract with God. That's the SR model as a contract, right? We have a covenant with God. And mark this down. Covenants are not the same as contracts. Have you noticed that? You did not sign a marriage contract. You signed a marriage covenant. And you're baptized, you don't sign a contract with God. You sign a covenant with God in a sense, don't you? There's a difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract is a legal document that says if you do all of this, then the other party is going to do all of that. But our relationship with God is based on covenant and not contract. In a similar way, our relationship with our mate is based on covenant and not contract. Covenant says, I choose to love you. I choose to follow you, Lord. Covenant is us giving ourselves over to the other person without the expectation that they're going to do exactly what we want. Covenants are based on what you give, and contracts are based on what you give and what you get back. God is not a cosmic vending machine. He's too good for that. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Our God is too big to be a cosmic vending machine. Don't expect if you put in the right coinage, then suddenly exactly what you want is going to pop out. God treats us under covenant, not under contract. Point two this evening. Our relationships with our mates and other significant people in our life, such as our children, are not SR stimulus response relationships either. They are based on covenant and not on contract. Now, if we have any lawyers in the audience, please forgive me for the next words I'm going to speak. I'm not against lawyers, and I think there's some things that you need to spell out in a legal document. I understand that. Most of us don't buy a house on a handshake, right? We sign some legal documents if we're going to buy and sell property. And that's an appropriate thing to do. That's a contractual agreement. But relationships are covenants and not contracts. We use contracts in business, but we use covenants in parts of our lives that matter most, our family and our friendships. In these relationships, we're not out to control the other person. We want to influence them, and we want to be influenced by them under covenant. But they're not SR, stimulus response, relationships. Your relationships with your wife, like I mentioned, you know, the flowers and or the special meal being cooked, those are covenant relationships, and you're giving a gift to your wife, you're giving a gift to your husband, that's covenant, and that's proper. But if you have in your mind, if I do this, then I'm going to get that, you're thinking contractually instead of as a covenant of giving. By the way, your relationship with your kids is also not a stimulus response relationship totally. I understand younger children do respond to stimulus response, rewards and punishments. I understand that. And that's fine, good, and dandy. But overall, your relationship with your kids is not an SR relationship. If it was, let me ask you this question. How can two or three or four kids raised in the same household turn out so differently? If it's all a matter of stimulus and response with your children, then all of your kids been treated alike, been disciplined alike, been loved alike, and they're going to turn out alike, right? Have you found that to be true? If you have, please see me afterwards and tell me how you did it. Our children are different. We love them both dearly, and they're great young adults. But, you know, the SR model of I'm going to control you because if I put in these coins, I'm going to get this result. That's contractual. That's not covenant living. Raising kids is a matter of faith. Did you hear that? Raising kids is a matter of faith. You invest in them. You love them. You discipline. You teach them. You do the very best you can with them. And sometimes you get the results you're looking for, and sometimes you don't get the results you're looking for. Have you noticed that? That's why you can have several kids raised by the same parents, same environment, same teaching, and they turn out differently because individual free will is at play. Raising children is a matter of faith. Here's a saying you may have heard before. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, someone will accuse you of your selfish or ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Be successful anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and straightforward anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People who really need help may turn on you when you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world your best, and you might still get kicked in the teeth. But give the world your best anyway. Do you hear the idea of covenant instead of contract here? Do you have the idea that not all of life is a matter of stimulus response? If you do the right thing, you're going to get the right result. It's by living by faith in relationships, because we do not know how that relationship will respond to our gift to that relationship. Give the world your best anyway. So the world is not a place of dependable stimulus-response relationships. It's a dependable place of faith relationships. Turn with me to Genesis 29. Refresh your memory on an Old Testament story. Genesis 29, we're going to start looking at verse 14. This is the story when Jacob goes a-courting, and he wants the hand of Rachel in marriage. So he talks to Rachel's dad, Laban. And Laban says, sure, you can marry my daughter. You just got to be my slave for 7 years. Boy, aren't you glad that we don't have to do that today? Well, Jacob really wants Rachel to be his wife, so he works and works and works for 7 years, but because of his love for Rachel, that time just flies right by. Comes wedding night, and guess what? Jacob has an unpleasant surprise. He's not given Rachel. Who's he given? Leah, her sister, her older sister. And Jacob comes back to Laban and complains, now wait a minute, we had a bargain here. He says, well, we have a custom that the older girl has to be married first. That's called a legal gotcha, right? That was in the contract. Didn't you read the fine print, Jacob? Ooh. Jacob is really upset, but he still loves Rachel. So he says, I'll work 7 more years for you, for Rachel. And lo and behold, he did. Lo and behold, he did. Wow. There are times in life you may have felt like Jacob. You did what you thought you were supposed to do, and life did not give you what you thought you were going to get. You put the right coins in the vending machine of life, but you didn't get what you wanted. Jacob put in the right coins of 7 years of work. He was wanting not Leah, but Rachel. And out pops Rachel. No, Leah instead. And he's disappointed. No doubt there have been times that you felt like Jacob. Life has not been fair. Someone has mistreated you. Someone has cheated you. Someone has stolen from you. Someone has not upheld their end of the bargain. And it's easy to become cynical and despairing. You were dumped or divorced or worse. A child or parent turned against you. Your brother or sister won't speak to you. Your friend has become your enemy. Your mate that you married has changed, and that change has not been for the better. Now, this is where we need a little comic relief, so here it comes. Here's a truism. Men marry women hoping that they won't change, and they change. And women marry men hoping that they will change, and they don't. Have you heard that one? Okay, that's your comic relief of the afternoon. It's easy to give up on people when we act out of a stimulus-response model. I was expecting this, and I got that. Very easy to have our expectations go unmet, and therefore we feel like we didn't get our fair shake in life. So what do you do when you get Leah instead of Rachel? What happens when a relationship gives you lemons instead of what you wanted? Do you become cynical, resolve never to open yourself up to anyone else again? Or like Jacob, do you realize that most relationships are not straight SR, stimulus-response relationships? They involve faith. Bottom line is, we will be hurt by people. Relationships are a matter of faith. There are no vending machine relationships with people that really matter. Yeah, I know in the business world we have contractual relationships. We have vending machine relationships with people on a commercial level, but not on a personal level. Personal level relationships involve faith. They're not just stimulus response relationships. Your mate, your child, your coworker are not Pavlov's dog. Relationships are risky, but they're worth the risk. Someone has said it this way: the difference is between investing in the stock market and investing in a savings account. Now, I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm not going to pretend to be one, but I've noticed over time, generally if you invest in the stock market over a period of many years, your investment returns are much higher than if you just put your money in a savings account. But at times, the stock market goes up, and sometimes it goes down. Have you noticed that? The point is that there are no guarantees in the stock market, right? You have an opportunity for reward, for receiving a great income, but you also have an opportunity for loss. A savings account, FDIC insured, up to what, $250,000? Well, most of us don't have $250,000 to worry about in a savings account. Go beyond that amount. Well, the problem is savings accounts don't pay a lot, do they? You're doing really good if you get 1% in the savings account. Have you noticed that? Doesn't even keep up with inflation. But what happens is we have looked at bear markets and relationships. You've experienced your relationships are matters of faith, not a matter of stimulus, response, vending machine relationship, because you've been cheated on, you've been hurt, you've been discouraged. And like Jacob, disappointed with Leah, finally getting Rachel, you were plainly mistreated. But like Jacob, you choose to re-enter the relationship market because the rewards are worth the risk. So what I'm saying is our relationships are more like investing in the stock market because there's no guaranteed returns, right? With relationships, you might be immensely blessed with that person you invest in, or you might find that investment goes sour real quick. No risk, no rewards. That's why relationship investing is a matter of faith. Number three, ministry is not a stimulus response relationship. It's a faith-based relationship as well. There are no guarantees that someone that you pour your life into will accept Christ or grow in Christ. Have you noticed that? As a minister, I have given up deciding beforehand who's going to become a Christian and who's not, who's going to be faithful to Christ and who's not, because I've been wrong so many times. You think you get it all figured out? You don't. The problem is, if I'm looking at this as a stimulus response model, if I put so many hours of Bible study and personal counsel and friendship into someone, will that necessarily mean that they become a Christian? No, because they have the option of free will. So I may invest in someone who does not become a Christian, does not bear spiritual fruit, does not grow in Christ. I can invest in someone, and I don't see the fruit or the rewards of that. And then somebody else comes along, and I invest only a little bit into them, and guess what? Tremendous growth, and you go, how'd that happen? Well, that's God's Spirit at work in their hearts. Jesus told a parable of a sower, right? Some were not fruitful. Some brought forth 100-fold. The same it is with people. We do not need to have a stimulus response approach to ministry. If you have the idea that you put 3 coins of Bible studies into the vending machine of ministry and a friend becomes a Christian, or you work with them for so long and they become a Christian, no. They make the decision to become a Christian or not. Ministry is not a straight stimulus response relationship. What I've said today is this: our relationship with God is a matter of faith, not a matter of being able to control God through stimulus response. Our good works, our prayers, or even our submission of our life to Him does not control God. We have to approach Him on the basis of faith, on the basis of covenant, not on the basis of contract. In a similar way, healthy human relationships with people we love and care about are covenant relationships. They're not contractual relationships. That means that people will disappoint you sometimes, and that means that you will sometimes feel like you got the raw end of the deal, but you got to keep going back out there and not give up on people. And ministry with people is the same way. It's a faith relationship. We don't know what God's going to do in that person's heart that we invest in. It doesn't mean that we stop sowing seed. It means that we sow seed irregardless of what the return appears to be in the people. We do not control people. We have influence on people. There are no sure bets. You can buy a Pepsi from a vending machine, but you can't buy a relationship from God with a spiritual vending machine. Money won't buy you love. Money won't buy you the Lord. Money won't buy you a relationship with somebody that's worth anything. That's because we're spirit, we're personality, we're made in the image of God. We aren't just like Pavlov's dog. Manipulation works for a while, but freedom wins in the end. Think about a couple of political movements in the 20th century. The Nazi Socialist Party in Germany and communism. Both are either vanquished or all but vanquished in the 21st century. They're not gone, but they've been reduced to next to nothing because people matter. We do not control people, we influence people. And political philosophies that have tried to control people, such as Nazism and communism, have been found in the scales wanting in history. That's because God has not made us as vending machines with simple stimulus responses. We're men and women created in God's image with a will. We aren't wired to control or be controlled, but to influence others, to give ourselves to others, and for them to give themselves to us. And we influence people by coming alongside them in love. And the strongest and most enduring power in the world is still the power of love. And that's why God became flesh in Jesus. God is not coercive. He doesn't force us to him. He invites us to him. He yearns for our companionship. He yearns for our surrender of our hearts to him. But he's too kind to force us to say, you've got to come to heaven with me. He invites us to heaven with him. And that's why becoming a Christian is our way of answering his invitation and answering his call. God invites us to surrender ourselves freely to him because we trust in his ultimate goodness. No, relationship with God is different from a relationship with Pavlov's dog and his dinner dish. It's not a stimulus response relationship. It's a relationship built on trust and faith. And tonight, if you need to respond to him in faith, trusting in him and obeying his gospel, or asking the prayers of the body of Christ, we invite you to the Lord. Let's stand together. Let's sing.